Demi, awesome to be back in the studio with you.
Yeah, we're recording a new podcast series. And for anyone listening, why don't you tell us what this one's about?
Yeah, episode one of a whole new series with the name Energizing Your Life. And I am so excited about it. I absolutely love taking people on a journey of change and then see how their lives and their businesses and their companies and their teams really change for the better. So this is just going to be an awesome journey.
But what journey have we planned for them? I have no idea. Please tell us.
We had the most awesome feedback from our previous podcast. You know, we got people contacting us from the UK and from New Zealand. So it really felt like this international podcast that we did. And I think, if I remember, it was on charity. It was on generosity.
How to do charity the right way.
So we had to do another podcast, but this time it's going to be super special. What we're going to do is we're going to take our listeners on a journey with us and ask them to engage to such an extent that at the end of our podcast series, things would have drastically changed in their lives. So how are we going to do this?
I don't know. You tell me. How are we going to do this? I'm just here to chat with you. And while we're talking about chatting, I mean, why are we talking in English?
Thank you for asking, because I know this is going to be the number one question I'm going to get. So, jy is 100% reg. 80% van ons luisteraars is Afrikaans. En so die groot vraag gaan wees, Kobus, doen dit net in Afrikaans? Nou, vir al die Afrikaanssprekendes, ons het 'n betaalde weergawe waarop jy kan inskryf en dan kan jy dit in Afrikaans ontvang. But since we really want this to reach all kinds of people, and we do have some Xhosa and Zulu and Sotho listeners, we've got a lot of English listeners, that's managers and companies and CEOs and supervisors, and then we've got a few people internationally listening. And for that reason, I decided to let's just keep it in English. I believe Afrikaans people are resourceful enough to use their English skills and get the best out of the series.
Well, it works for me. So let's get started.
Wait, Tammy, before we start, just a big shout out to Telvidre Fure, that is sponsoring this episode. They are making this episode possible for us. A few years ago, I met Tas Pretorius, one of the owners of Telvidre, and I can just say what an amazing, amazing guy. He invited me to do a workshop with his staff, and then I came back a second time to work with his staff. And it's just an incredible group of people together. You know what? They are running this animal feed mill in Heilbronn, in the beautiful Free State. And they are all about quality. If you speak to them, to any staff member, it is just quality. I mean, they even grow mostly their own resources and minerals to produce, you know, this feed. And if they do buy in other products, you must just see the process that it needs to go through in order to ensure their quality. So if you are a farmer and you farm with animals, anything from a chicken to pigs to cattle, sheep, even game, and you are serious about farming, you're serious about your business, then you need to connect with the guys from Telvidre. So go to the website at www.telvidre.co.za. That is telwiedre.co.za. Thanks, Telvidre, for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, and if you go to the website, don't forget to check out the video on their homepage where you can really find out what makes the Telvidre animal feed so great. Kobus, you've done some crazy stuff in the last few years when it comes to showing us the power of your mind. So Kobus, why do you want to run the Kalahari Extreme Marathon again this year?
Well, I've done it before, so people will know that I think it was 2012 I done it the first time, and I think 2 years or 3 years ago I did it again. And the first time I did it just because people challenged me and said it's absolutely impossible to do. I had 3 months to prepare. I'm not an athlete whatsoever. And so I really wanted to show people how our bodies follow our minds. And if you understand your mind, you can really achieve a lot more than what you think you can.
And tell me, was it worth it that first time around?
Yeah, people ask me if it was a spiritual experience. It wasn't. It was like, I hope I don't die experience. But I guess to go over the finish line, I cried like a baby. It was like this crazy, man, you know, I did it. And I did it through mental preparation, pretty much mental preparation only. And so it was really incredible for me to be able to say, you know what, everything that I'm teaching people, I just showed you that, you know, what I teach in theory, that I can do it in practice.
So that makes sense. But then tell me the second time around. I don't understand why you felt you needed to prove it again.
Yes, the second time around, it was with a different purpose. It was with the purpose of showing people how we can influence someone else. So I was literally looking for someone that's not an athlete, that's very unhealthy, living an unhealthy life, that culturally is not doing this kind of thing. So I actually phoned the event organizers and asked them to, you know, what kind of cultural group within South Africa has never done this race. And I was told, you know, they've never had a close-up person running the race. I said, okay, that's the person I want to look for. And I wanted to show people how not only we can have an effect on ourselves, but that how you can, with the knowledge of how your mind works and the knowledge of mentoring, how to really have a relationship with someone else, how you can make them to do the seemingly impossible.
Okay, so I hear you say people put your actual science to the test the first time around, that, you know, you're out there teaching these people about their minds. And so you're like, nope, let me prove it. Give me a challenge. You took on the challenge. You conquered it. Second time around, you thought, hang on a second, but I'm also teaching people about mentoring and promoting mentoring and the power of mentoring and how it can really change people's lives. So you took some guy that you thought this will be a challenge and took him through the desert. So I understand that. But now a third time, are you just addicted to this?
It is interesting that you should use those words, because in a strange way, if people just, and this is what I want to show our listeners, this is the journey I want to take them on, that if you start programming your thinking, then certain things, maybe difficult things, just becomes effortless to you. And if you can take other people on that journey, your teams at work, your, you know, the people you supervise, or people on the farm, difficult tasks where you need a lot of motivation can actually just become super easy. And so this year, I feel super blessed that Core Merino said that they will become my race sponsor. I've got a very interesting history with Core Merino. I always say that if you are going to test something, you know, and it's going to cost money and you're going to put yourself through hell, then why not test a few other things? And the previous time I've done this, I was really intrigued by the claims of wool. You know, the Core Merino guys said that, hey, you know, the clothing that we produce can keep you warm in the winter, but they said it can keep you cool when it's hot. And I said, well, let's test it. Let me take it into the desert and see if this claim stands up. Because, I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
How many sheep do you see in the desert?
How many sheep do you see in the desert? And the other thing that it said is you don't smell. And I said, let me run with the shirt for 7 days, the only one shirt, and let's test if it doesn't smell.
When I think about the poor people who had to help you taste that second claim.
I tell you what, it actually stood up to what they claimed. I was amazed. The Core Merino products is actually brilliant, brilliant products. And so this year when they said, look, they will sponsor me to run this race again in Core Merino clothing, I was like, I definitely want to do it. But the main reason, the thing that really excites me is to really, and this is the reason why I want to do it, is to take all those people that come to our workshops. You know, I do so many workshops all over South Africa, and I always have the most amazing people attending these workshops, getting excited about their minds, getting excited about how to lead their teams. I want to invite them to come on this journey with me. Now, I can't take all 4,000 into the desert, you know.
So, did you hear your invitation?
But what I can do is say, look, for this race, I am going to do this podcast. And I want to show each listener how I prepare myself mentally to achieve this goal of running 250 kilometers, one of the most difficult races on this planet, self-sustaining race in the desert. And while I'm showing you how to do this pretty effortlessly, I want you to bring your goal to the table. I want to say, look, I'm going to show you step for step how to get your mind set on reaching your goal. And why not join me over the next couple of weeks and bring your goal and let us reach our end destination at the same time.
Okay, so just to clarify for me, this is how to achieve your own goal, or is this about how to help someone else achieve their own goal? Like if you're a manager, how to help an employee maybe, you know, get better in time management or more emotional intelligence, those kind of things? Or is it just about me finding a goal for myself and achieving that?
It's absolutely, it's both. And so, I mean, every person out there, I believe, has something they want to change. I always say the one thing we all share is change. You know, we either want a promotion, or we want to stop smoking, or we want to lose weight, or we want to be more healthy or more wealthy. And so all of us, you know, there's always something that we want to achieve in life. I think that's just how we are wired. And so absolutely any individual can bring their goal to the table. And I often say, before we lead our teams, you know, it's good to first go through a process yourself. I mean, oh, yeah. I can tell you everything about child labor. You know, I've got a first aid level 3 qualification. So Akambaba's Fung and Eviat and so on. But I guess the person that went through child labor can do more with the information because it's just more real and tangible and understandable than the person that hasn't.
Okay.
And so
I see where you're going with that. I was worried for a second.
And so I think with that in gedachte, with that in mind, I think we need to always bring our own goals and always be on this path of growth ourselves. However, in Life Exchange Solutions is in this position of working with managers and HR and supervisors and guiding and leading them to bring the best out of their own people. And so I would challenge any manager or any CEO of a company or a farmer with his team on the farm to join us on this journey and say, how can I set goals and help my people to achieve those goals as well? So they gaan so half al twee kante wees.
Okay, so almost even like a group goal that you want to get this whole team or group towards, you know, a business goal or something. Even the stuff that we're going to go through can help for that.
Absolutely, definitely.
So it kind of sounds impossible. You are going to go and run a 250-kilometer run in the desert, and you say you haven't done any physical training and you've got 6 weeks to prepare. Where are you starting? Are you not already thinking, oh, I need to go and run tomorrow morning for 20Ks and do a bit of any other fitness training?
You know what? 20Ks sound way too far for me currently.
Oh, no.
So I'm not there where I can put on my shoes and run 20 kilometers tomorrow. And for real. And that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm not there yet. I've got 6 weeks to get my mind to a place where I believe that I can do it. And so this is what we need to focus on. And for the next 9 episodes, I want to show people how do we set our goal and make it so believable that our brain say, all right, body, let's get you in line with, let's open up your mind to get the information you need. Let's do what you need to do to get to that goal. Because you believe that this is true for you.
So tell me, I mean, maybe we need to go back to the very first time you've done this race, because I guess now that you've done it once, your belief that it's possible has been put in place. You know, you have a belief. But before you even took it on, how did you create that belief that it was possible for you, someone who's never really been a runner in life, to achieve a 250-kilometer, 6-day stage race?
I think sometimes ignorance is bliss. So, and really, because if you don't know, you don't know. And when I did this run the first time, I didn't even know what a marathon was. If you said that this is going to be a couple of ultra marathons, you know, I didn't even know what a marathon was, you know, how far that was. So,
did you have to Google it or did you just leave it?
I had to Google and I saw that a marathon was 42.2 and I could never figure out the 0.2. I think that's just to kill you at the end.
Okay, I actually read something like this the other day, or it popped up on my phone or something, where someone shared something that was something about the fact that our muscles actually have enough strength to lift a car, but because we don't believe it, we can't do it. Is that true?
Well, if you think about it, you often hear about a kid that's stuck under a car and then adrenaline kicking in and a mom would literally lift the car to pull the kid out. So we've heard those kind of stories quite often.
Yeah.
Now, people would say, oh, it's the adrenaline. That's the thing that causes it. The adrenaline can't do anything to your muscles unless your muscles has the ability to lift up the car.
Like what you teach with people when it comes to potential, potential is the ability to be able to do something,
yeah,
or something that can happen that hasn't happened yet. So obviously you must have the potential in our muscles. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure people would have told you you're crazy. It's impossible. You'll never make it. And how did you deal with that and kind of still be able to cultivate this belief in yourself that was true for you, that you can do it?
So, you know what? I did get that a lot. I got people from sports science point of view, once again, scientists, that said, you're going to cause so much injury to your body. This is a silly thing to do. A lot of people, a family that tried to talk me out of it. So I did get a lot of negativity. But belief in something starts in seeing the potential. Absolutely, that's where you need to start. If you set a goal for your team to reach a certain target, you need to believe that there is potential for them to do it.
Okay.
So what happened with me is I read an article about Cliff Young, and our listeners, you should just go and Google Cliff Young, Melbourne to Sydney Marathon. And this is about this farmer with his gumboots on that ran 800 kilometers, not an athlete at all. And when I read article, I was like, it seems like this is possible. This is humanly possible for a person that's not an athlete to run a race like this. And so it started off by looking at someone else.
Okay.
It started off by looking at something that was achieved by another person and said, maybe I can do it. And then I said to myself, you know what? If I'm sure I've walked more than 250 kilometers in my lifetime, I think I do more than that in a year. So can I just, take that thinking of, I have done this before. I have walked more than 250 kilometers in a lifetime or in a month or in a year. I don't know how much you walk. We need to count our steps, I guess. And I guess it started by just thinking about this ridiculous thing, then going to, but it seems like it is humanly possible. And then starting to tell myself, but maybe it is even possible for myself. And that was the journey with that first race, to get my mind into how will I do this impossible thing?
And then, just coming back to the negativity, if you could start breaking it down for yourself, how did you deal with those voices that kept coming at you and saying, no, you can't, it's not possible?
Yeah, I think that was the mental challenge. That was that is a difficult part about training yourself mentally. And so, number one, you need to choose the people that you share with very carefully. You don't share with people that you know are going to knock you down.
Yes.
It's very important. So if you don't know people that won't knock you down, go on Facebook, see if you can join a group that thinks differently. Get into their kind of thinking. So that's number one. But you will get across. People will come across your way. And then in those times, you literally have to smile and wave. And when you walk away, go back to your own thinking. I know this is possible. I can do it. Other people have done it. Why can't I do it? We're all human.
And then tell me, in your training, as you're preparing for it, how did you start to see that belief was starting to actually be built inside you as you were going through it? Or was it first when you completed the race that actually you were like, okay, that's actually true?
It's a good question. I think the first time I really realized that this belief is part of me is, I think it was day 4. So you need to understand they build this race. The first day you run, I think like a 32 or something, then a 40 something the next day, then a 50 something the next day. And then day 4 is a day night run. And that's normally between 74 and 80 kilometers
Oh, wow.
That you have to do in very tough conditions. And on the day, I found myself in the middle of the night being passed out. And when I came to, I was like, I didn't know where I was. And so once again, setting these goals doesn't say it's going to be easy. I'm not giving you a quick fix. I'm just showing you how you can really achieve your goals. And so I came to and I was confused as to where I was. And then what happened was the first thought that came through my head was the one that I literally trained me with. And I was like, I'm this endurance athlete. I do crazy stuff like this. This is me. And that was the first thing. And I remember when I kind of processed that, I'm like, wow, my belief of who I am really shifted just in my mental preparation.
Okay, wow, that's awesome. So it was actually when you were on the race that you actually really kind of hit that point where you're like, this is a true belief now. And I assume that belief, like you said, is actually carrying you now to take on the challenge for the third time. Is there, for this time round in your training, is there anything that you're adding to the belief? Because you have done it. Is there anything you're adding to the challenge for yourself that means you need to also work on the belief part of it for yourself this time?
Yes, I think that the last time I did it, I was so focused on this person that I took with me, that the race becomes super tough. And so when you fly, the air hostess will also always in their safety briefing say, put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then help others. And I guess the last race, my mind was so concerned with this person that I got into this desert. And it was really, you know, people kind of dropped out the whole time, and it was just a tough race that I didn't really focus on myself. And I nearly didn't make it the second time around. It was just, you know, there was a time I remember on day four that I was just like, this is it. I'm not sure I'm going to do this. I'm going to finish this. And so I guess what I would like to do on this time around is to put the oxygen mask on myself. Get back into how do I get my mind into achieving this. Focus on how do I do this. And that's why I say that I think this series is so cool. Because while I am going to put the focus on, Quibus, take yourself through the steps. I now can take other people through the steps. So I guess that's different from how I did it the last time.
Okay. But I mean, that's kind of relevant if we're talking about leadership and trying to get a team towards a goal. Your experience when you were so focused on the other guy running the race with you that you maybe lost focus on your own purpose for why you're wanting to achieve the goal, or maybe even belief in you achieving the goal because you were focused on the other side of it. So what kind of advice would you give, having been through that situation now and thinking about how would you approach it differently this time around?
I think the core thing is, if you're not healthy, you can't help other people to get healthy. And so as much as a leader, I want to lead others and I want to grow others and I want to make sure that they are hitting their targets and that they are happy at work. If I am not doing that, I can't take other people on their journey. Oxygen mask needs to be on you first before you can help others. And I think this is such a key principle for anyone that wants to lead others in goals is, how are you doing? How are you enjoying your job currently? What are you doing to change things? How are you in setting goals and achieving them? If you are not healthy in that area, then to lead others is a bit scalum, you know. It's just like, impossible, but I can't do it.
You know? Almost like I want you to fix my problems even. Or I'm avoiding my issues by focusing on you.
Absolutely. And so when it comes to goal setting, like I said, you can take your team through this and you can help them achieve, but you need to go through it yourself. You need to experience those labor pains, if I can get back to that analogy. So that when you speak to them about labor pains, you know what you're talking about.
Great. Sounds awesome. So when are you starting your training?
Well, mentally, I have started it. And I've started my training by working on this idea of, Quibus, you're much older than the last time. You've tore some ligaments in between, so your ankle is not as good. You had all these physical challenges over the last couple of years. And now, do you believe that you can still go and do it? And then I think about Cliff Young, and I say, he was in his 60s when he did it. Now, I'm only turning 40 now.
Didn't he, even in his 70s or 80s, didn't he start running all these races all around the world?
He kept on running. I think when he did, he finished his 800 kilometers, he never stopped. He continued to run. And where he started in gumboots, I'm glad to say that he changed into running shoes eventually. But that's where I'm starting right now with my mental preparation. And what I want to do for all our listeners out there, comment on our blog, bring your goal to the table. Ask questions, because we will address it in this series. I will take you through the journey as to how you can set goals and achieve your goals for yourself or for your business or for your teams. I want to take you on the journey. So interact with us, bring it to the table, comment, ask questions, tell us if you think this is rubbish. I would love to hear that. And follow us so that you can see how I take you into the desert, out of the desert, so that you can achieve your goals.
So once again, thank you to Talvidra for sponsoring this episode. You can find out more about them at www.telwierde.co.za. And hey, if you want to find out more about Core Merino and the clothing that Cobus will be running in for his race, then you can also check them out at coremerino.com. coremerino.com.